This is the Culture and Conversations Podcast. And I am Jameson Smallwood, your host. This feels kind of victorious right now. We didn't get canceled after this first episode. Sorry to make you guys wait for this next one. Had a lot going on this week, but we got through it. I think you're going to love the guest that we've got lined up for you. I finally figured out how to use SoundCloud. A lot of creative people putting out dope music. Got a few things I'm going to talk about today, give you my opinion on a few things. Apparently President Trump has said some more stuff that was controversial. No surprise there. So much to talk about. Let's get to it. Oh yeah, I got a poem to share with you guys too. Something I wrote. One day I'm going to sit down and actually write a rap to one of these beats. But until then, your ears are safe. Welcome to the Culture and Conversations Podcast. I am Jameson Smallwood, and we have a great show lined up. I'm going to share some poetry with you. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the culture, as well as we have an interview lined up to bring to you featuring the one and only Kimberly Isis. She is a motivator and a great advocate for women, and we're going to talk to her about just what she thinks about a lot of different things. She helped make me aware of some things that I need to do better as I relate to the fairer sex. And she's also going to give us some details about an event she's got going on next week that I want you guys to take advantage of, because we're going to send someone there for free, a listener and a supporter of the Culture and Conversations Podcast. This week, I heard that President Trump apparently made some disparaging comments about countries such as Haiti and Africa. And I don't want to repeat what he said because we want to maintain the PG rating on this podcast. But the reality of it is that President Trump is just echoing what many people believe about the world and their place in it. It's tough because there are only so many resources available for people to consume in a country, so you can't just accommodate everyone. However, there is also the reality that we're all human beings, and that there's a certain ethic and decency that is tied to our humanity, and you can't ignore that even at the political level. So the challenge we've got is that as we deal with people who present views such as Trump, we have to always champion the humanity of people, the thing that binds us all together. Circumstances are what they are. We're fortunate to be born here in America, to be a part of the American fabric, to be a part of this country, while others are desperately seeking an opportunity similar to our own. And it's unfortunate that people find competitive, issues with supporting and loving others as they come to this country and being welcoming of others as they come to this country. And they think it's just a matter of resource allocation and their place in this world being threatened by others who come here and take advantage of what we've created and what we've shared in. But we have to also remember to always be welcoming, regardless of those people who feel that way. And that's what I really wanted to just speak on, is the idea of being welcoming, you know, understanding that we were fortunate to be born here, that we were fortunate to be a part of the American experience, and that doesn't just happen overnight. That didn't just happen because we worked hard. We are the winners of what they call the genetic lottery. We were just born in the right place at the right time, to the right set of parents. And we were birthed in a country where we're fortunate to be a part of the experiences here. And I think if people think about where they come from, then they'll be surprised at just how fortunate they are to be here, that they don't have an exclusive right to America. And while we've created a great government and a great institute and some great institutions here, depending on your viewpoint, obviously, but it comes back to us making ourselves available to serve our fellow man and our fellow human, as long as they feel an obligation and a duty to obey the laws of the land. Then I support whoever wants to come here and take part in this great experiment known as America. So President Trump, you don't define what everybody believes. You know that. You're a very, very sharp and shrewd man. You may be echoing what your crazy core believes, but there's still those of us who believe that America is open to people who want to come here and work, as long as they're willing to obey the laws of the land when they come here. This poem is called Time Traveler. I'm the soul that wishes time travel was true, so I could go back and teach myself all the lessons I thought I knew. So blessed, lucky, favored, and confused, I left that blessing unappreciated and abused. No clue how to appreciate the moment, too emotionally immature to acknowledge the truth and own it. I know I can't live in the past, and I've often tried to move on. But if time travel were true, I'd talk to me until I righted my wrongs. No tears to cry, for the present is a beautiful blessing too. But sometimes that old is just more familiar than the new. Life's great freedom is also its great prison. We are liberated or held captive by our decisions. Mine weren't great years ago, and even though I pretended well, I didn't know which way to go. So, today I'm better for those experiences and lessons, and I try and treat with care all of my life's blessings. Time Traveler. Next on the Culture and Conversations podcast, we have our interview with Kimberly Isis, the owner, curator, and chief author at IHearThatGirl.com. Kimberly agreed to be on the podcast to talk about her beliefs about motivating women and just share some great wisdom that she's gleaned over the years, empowering Black women and encouraging sisters to be their best selves. I love this discussion and this conversation because it's very fun, it's very lighthearted, it's very candid, but also there's a lot of great wisdom being shared by Kimberly. So we hope you enjoy. Stay tuned. Hey, Kim, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. For the listeners, I am speaking with the lovely and the passionate motivator, Kimberly Isis.
Yay.
And she agreed to sit down and chat with me on the Culture and Conversations podcast. And I really am appreciative of her time today because Sundays, as she told me, are very sacred. And,
yes.
She, and I don't want to waste and squander her Sunday evening. So,
so my Sundays are sacred.
Yeah. I'm over here.
Something I came up with, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody should have something that's sacred for them, you know?
Oh, that's dope.
I say it's a part of self-care.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Let me take that tidbit away. Everyone should have something that is sacred to them. Do you think that people lacking reverence for certain things is a problem?
Yes.
Okay, explain that for me.
You know, I just believe that we don't hold anything in high regard anymore, because everything is either so accessible or like we're okay with absolutely everything to the point where you care for nothing.
Wow.
And integrity is one of those things that for me trumps all else, even, you know, like, okay, I'll tell people, I'd rather, when I go into a relationship with a guy, I'm not concerned about love.
Okay.
I am concerned about respect.
Hmm.
Because if you respect me, then you will never do anything to disrespect me.
Okay.
And that is a form of love. So I'd rather have respect than love. And when I say love, I'm talking about that emotional love, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. Because I believe that respect is the truest form of love. You know, when you respect someone and you reverence someone, that is your truest form of love. And so I'd rather have that. And I also believe, like, integrity is lost.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have integrity anymore. We used to be able to say your word is your bond, but it's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I like for my word to be my bond. So I am, really, I stand very firm on integrity, the things that I believe in, and the things that, if I call myself a fighter for justice, I will be that in all facets, no matter, even if it is against myself or against someone that I hold in high regard, it is still something that I have to stand on, you know, my integrity. And I remember, you know, my blog, my site is very positive. And I remember when I moved to Atlanta that I had a PR rep that actually told me I wouldn't go far because I wasn't covering, you know, like the gossip and stuff like that. And they were like, well, you know, this is what's popping right now. So, you know, your traffic's not going to be good because people aren't really checking for the positive stuff. And I had a decision to make, like, do you want to cover the events where, you know, the reality TV shows and stuff, like, is that what you want to cover? Or do you really believe in what you created? And when I created I Hear That Girl, it was to fight those stereotypes about ourselves and portray a truth that was a real reality of Black women, which is positive perspectives. Those are the perspectives that I see. And I'm not saying that, you know, the reality TV thing is not someone's reality, it may be. But for me, you know, the amount of positive Black women that I see on a day-to-day basis far outweighs what mass media is portraying. You know, I may know two ratchet people, but the rest of the Black women that I encounter are amazing creatures, and their stories aren't being told. So, you know, so that's why I am, like, definitely for any kind of podcast like this that is going to be sharing stories, because I think, you know, we have to narrate our own stories. We cannot allow people who do not look like us and who have not had our experience to accurately retell our stories. And they won't. So.
No, that's true. And I think, I mean, you said a lot there that I need to pay attention to just in my own personal life, because the reason I do have this podcast is so people can tell their stories. And I think that I would have never been aware of the issues around the Black woman as a stereotype in the media as it's being portrayed through all these reality TV shows. And, you know, for you, when you moved here, you said that you faced a sort of, you know, crossroads in your career because you could have went with the, you know, the popular culture and said, hey, I'm going to write this really salacious blog and, you know, but you decided to have integrity, which you said was sacred to you, and hold to that integrity so that you would do a particular type of portrayal of the experiences of Black women. So, you know, one of the things I'm trying to be more mindful of, and I think that leads me into my next question is, you know, how can we as Black men, because I am a Black guy, how can I help encourage women to express the true narrative of their life instead of perpetuating the myths and the stereotypes of quote unquote the angry black woman or the reality TV vixen woman, you know, how can I help women in general, especially black women in general, tell their truth?
Well, I think for one is let them know, you know, and let me say the angry black woman, I believe, is a real black woman. And mm-hmm. instead of us looking at it as a negative thing, because I can be an angry black woman, trust and believe a lot. And it goes to what James Baldwin said, is to be conscious of what is going on in this world is to be in a state of rage daily.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I am angry. I am angry with the way that you portray my people. I am angry with the way that you portray my sisters. I am angry with the way that you continuously, you know, berate and belittle my people. So, mm-hmm. yes, I am a very angry black woman. I have every right in the world to be angry. So instead of us looking at that as a negative, which is what they use to keep you under control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I say being an angry black woman is a horrible thing, it'll keep you from behaving angrily, correct? Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So, you know, that is their rule. That is their way of keeping us in check. And, you know, so what I did is I decided in my head that I would not allow that to be an offensive term for me anymore.
Mm.
When you say angry black woman, I'm like, yep, I have ever world to be. But today is not one of those days. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's for me, that's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
But to your question of, how do black men help women portray these stereotypes? Tell us. Because, you know, the brothers, you guys have more input than you think. We pay way more attention to you guys than we probably should.
Mm.
And, you know, because sometimes I can tell a sister, you know, to love herself 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she will not listen to me. But when a brother tells her, sisters, love yourself. You're like, I know that's right. I'm like, wait a minute.
You've been telling that same message, and then all of a sudden a guy like me gets up there who has like, you know, who's not in this space of trying to motivate women and encourage women, and I'll say something, you know, and then it get like, you know, all these likes, and you're just like, wait a minute, I do this all the time.
Comments, they are buying his books and everything. Like, he said it. So, honestly, you know, men, you guys have, the brothers have a lot of power when it comes to helping women understand who we are, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it comes to the root of who we are, we can only experience that for ourselves. And I am a strong advocate of introspection on for yourself, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying, because you can't, to thine own self be true. That's basically what I'm going to say on that. But I do know that women are concerned with what men find attractive, what men find special, and what men find to be sacred. So if you guys are celebrating the sisters who are doing their best to love on themselves naturally,
mm-hmm.
instead of all of the women who get butt injections and, you know, spend 14 hours changing their faces into something else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they're the ones getting all the likes and they're the ones that are always praised and they're the ones that are always, oh, she's a goddess, then what about the sisters who are educating themselves,
sure.
loving themselves? What about them? If the brothers turn the tide and show love to those sisters, then those sisters in turn will want to be introspective and be their true selves.
No, you're
that's
right.
How you got to it.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, I've had this conversation in various forms. I was at church teaching about this, and then I kind of got into trouble this week on my Facebook page because I fell prey to this hoax that was going around that. that these women on Twitter were, you know, you know, boycotting, quote unquote, Black Panther because they didn't like, what's his name, Michael B. Jordan, who he was dating. They didn't like the, you know, the fact that he was in an interracial relationship. So the spirit of what I wrote was misled in some sense because it was a hoax because, so, you know, that's fake news. And I was responding to fake news, but the spirit of what I said, though, I think is articulated by what you said in that we have to value women doing it, quote unquote, the right way. And, you know, I wanted to try to say something more profound than just, hey, you shouldn't care who that brother likes. But my friends quickly swarmed me in my DMs. They were like, you know, look, you know why these things are issues for Black women, and you know why women, you know, have all these issues with, you know, your perspective on this. And, you know, and I said, well, you know, I get the social history on that. And I didn't mean to strike that nerve, but that led us into the conversation about what men find to be attractive and this whole idea of what you're describing of how, what we pay attention to is what women gravitate to. And, you know, I don't know, Kim. It's like, it's tough because we're trying to make people, it's tough. Like we like what we like as men, but to some extent it is being manipulated. So, you know, I'm very keen of the whole, cosmetics and the plastic surgery thing. Cause you know, at the end of the day, I like beautiful women and I like them across the spectrum, whether they're light skin, whether they're dark skin, whether they have processed hair, natural hair, whatever, you know, I love women. And, but I think what you said, I'm kind of taking and internalizing is that a woman who is taking care of herself, who's loving herself naturally, she should be praised and she should be seen as attractive and she should be a target of attention from men who are looking for quality women in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm not shunning the sisters with the good beat. You know what I'm saying? Because I actually have my face on a good day. You know? So I think the beauty is not, it shouldn't be lost in what we see on the outside. I think our perception of beauty is whatever we see on that picture. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And instead, I think we have to go back to seeing beauty in character, beauty in words, beauty in behavior, beauty in that. Like for me, and I tell guys, you know, I hang out with a lot of dudes and I tell them this all the time. I'm like, this happens on both sides of the spectrum because for guys, I have gone on dates and there are guys that are just gorgeous, right? On the outside. But if within about 5 minutes of a conversation, I'm like, he's just so unattractive. He's like, he doesn't think, or the things that he says is just horrible. I don't like it. The character is not beautiful. So for me, character trumps all of that stuff. That's not your beauty. Okay. That's your physical appearance, but your beauty is your character. Your beauty is integrity. Your beauty is your ability to make me want to learn. Like your character. I mean, like all of that. Those are things that are absolutely sexy to me. So I think it's about changing your perspective or your perception of what beauty is in your mind. And I think that we live in such a shallow world that it is only physical. And that is honestly not even, I always think about the episode of, Twilight Zone when the girl was trying to have this plastic surgery to get to be beautiful. And the doctors were like, we can't help you. She's just too far gone. Like, you're just horrible. And so they take the bandages off of her face and she's like a normal human being like me and you. And the people who were telling her she was extremely ugly, they looked like pigs.
Exactly.
So it was funny that, you know, we base what beauty is, the physical, on something that is set by people. And I think that is such a small understanding of what beauty is. Mm. You know, when you think in the spiritual and you think on a God level, like, beauty is way deeper than that. And for us to make it so small, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, what are you doing with your life? Do you really think God spent that much time creating people just to, you know, make it so ridiculous that it's only set on physical? Like, that's not the extent of beauty. It's definitely not.
No, I think we like easy, you know, we like things that are easy to process. So The exterior beauty is easy to process. Oh, I look at you, you got the right measurements, you got the right height, you're the right, you know, hair type, the right skin tone, You're beautiful. But to your point, the deeper issues that we possess, the deeper characteristics that we have to express over time, that take investment, that take, you know, a devotion to that person and an enthusiasm to get to know that person, those things aren't easily discerned. So we typically don't associate those with beauty because we can't make those judgments as quickly as we look at someone's physical appearance. And
but you know, Jameson, I don't agree with that. I believe you can.
Okay.
I believe you can. Like, you know, the more that I've tapped into character of people, and I'm gonna tell you how this started. Like, this started with me years ago, when I was searching for more from God.
Okay.
And I started that at 17, just really trying. I was like, God, there's got to be more about you than what I'm being taught.
Sure.
And I need to find it. So I was searching, like, I studied every religion and still couldn't find it. And, you know, finally I visited a church in North Augusta, South Carolina. I visited that church and, I went to the Bible study first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God told me to go to the Bible study. If you want to know the weight of a church, go to their Bible study.
That's a good point.
So I went to the Bible study, you know, a stranger, and I sat down, and the pastor, who was Pastor Nero, he said, I want you all to learn about God. And if you don't remember any of these scriptures, what I do want you to learn in your time here is the character of God. If you know the character of God, it will forever lead you into the truth of God.
Okay.
And from that day forward, that's all I concerned myself with, was the character of God. Seeing God's character in every story in the Word, in every scripture in the Word. And then I began to see his character in every creation he's made, in every day-to-day interaction with people, in every relationship, in every text message. I mean, the more I searched for the character of God, the more it was pronounced to me and I could see it. So knowing the character of God, when I interact with people, I immediately feel the character, and I know if this is a beautiful character or not. If this is a character I should invest in or not.
Wow.
And so I believe when we start looking for a different way, like I said, if we stop looking at the trivial, which is physical,
mm-hmm.
and we start looking deeper into the spiritual and the character of people, you can see that just as easily as I can see she fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can look at you and be like, he ain't that cute. He ain't all that. Let me tell you what's going on with him, really. He's arrogant. He's this. He's that. He always thinks he's right. He's, you know what I'm saying? These things don't make you cute.
Wow. I'm gonna steal your website. I hear that, girl. You know what I mean? Like that. that's all I can say in response to that. I hear that. You know, I love talking with you, about these things, obviously, because you do have a perspective that I find to be interesting and thought provoking. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, like, you know, who inspires you? I know you're motivating people and you're helping women to realize that, you know, their beauty and their worth, and taking that from being an internal thought that he have to being something that he manifests into the world. So as a motivator, I'm wondering who inspires you?
Oprah definitely inspires me.
Okay.
Oprah has been an inspiration because she was the first person that looked like me that was speaking. I've always had a big mouth and I've always talked a lot. And then there was this woman that was talking for, this was her job. And like, it's not the news. This is like sitting down talking to people. And I thought she was the dopest person ever. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Oprah has always been that. And then, I learned, something about Oprah and it made it even stronger. She did have that, she ran into that crossroads and integrity had to be chosen. And she remembered the episode that she did on her show where, you know, she had the Ku Klux Klan on there and everything. And she said, you know, when I put the show together, I figure I'm going to use my platform and show the world how dirty and horrible they are. And, you know, she had high ratings at that time. And she said she had to make a decision because she realized what she thought she was letting people know, that these are horrible folks. She actually just gave them a platform for other people to agree with them.
Oh, wow.
And she said that from that day forward, she chose not to ever use her platform for anything besides positivity. If it will not share positivity and breed positivity in the lives of others, she would never put it on her show. Mm-hmm. And so the news station told her, the channel told her that, you know, they were like, well, our ratings are really good right now, you know. And she was like, no, I just only want to do positive stuff from here on. And so she continued to do positive, and that was the switch in her show. And at the time, you know, you had Donahue, you had Sally Jesse Raphael, you had Geraldo, Ricky Lake, shows like that. Mm-hmm. And they continued to do, you know, the negative stuff. And I said to myself, I said, who's still around? Who made the biggest impact? The person who stood on their integrity or the people who went with what was hot at the time?
Exactly.
And it's her. And so she has always been like a big, big, like mentor in my head, for me, and a huge influence into how I run my business. And my personal, influence has always been my mother, who has from day one put confidence in me and just reminded me that you are a black woman. Put the period behind woman. That's it. That is what you need. That is your confidence. That is your strength. That is what makes you great. That is what makes you excellent. Don't believe the hype of everything else you will ever hear. Just remember that you are a black woman. And so I thank her for that, because that was, you know, all I needed. I didn't need validation from anyone else. As long as I knew that I was a black woman and that was my strength. So yeah, those are my influences.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, I didn't know that about Oprah and the Klan, but it makes sense. What you magnify, you give power and platform to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think integrity goes back to what you said earlier about things being sacred and
right. People
not having things that are sacred anymore, and that leads to that lack of integrity. You know, mm-hmm. I just refuse to be negative. You know, I try not to be, you know, I tell people when I talk about this podcast is that, you know, I want this podcast to be my timeline on Facebook, and I see a lot of stuff on Facebook, you know, but I just refuse to be negative because that's my platform. And, you know, to your point, if I get on there and I'm negative, the only thing I'm doing is creating more attention for the negativity and nothing positive, you know.
Right.
And I just don't want to do that, you know. And I just love how you give your mom credit too for helping you identify, you know, your strength as a black woman, as opposed to just being, you know, like, hey, you have to take that out of you or remove that or hide it. It's something to treasure and to give value to in your life.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I came across you. I think it was, had to be maybe 2 or 3 years ago now. Yeah, I was listening to the radio revival, and it came up in my feed some kind of way on Facebook. You guys were doing a show and had a live web stream, and I was listening to it. And, you know, I appreciated the notion of sort of the name of the show, hey, we're going to revive the radio. I thought that was dope. And I just kind of wanted to reach out and think, you know, talk to you after that, you know, because I saw what you and Alton Walker were doing. And, you know, I just kind of wonder, you know, you move to Atlanta and you start this blog called IHearThatGirl.com. And what has your journey in the motivational industry been like? Because you obviously have a message. I mean, I hear it loud and clear as I talk to you. You have a great message. What has that journey been like in terms of getting people to realize that your message has value and can help them in their lives?
You know, it's been easy. It's been great. It's actually been amazing. And I think the reason that it's been just so easy for me is because this is what I do. This is just who I am. And so people see the authenticity of it. You know, they don't see a salesperson. They see someone who is genuinely concerned with me loving myself, with me having the best for myself. You know, and I'm going to do this regardless if I get paid, regardless of, if I don't. And so they know that that's just in my DNA. And, so it has grown by leaps and bounds, you know, and expanded from just the website to events and services and coaching services. And all of these things have grown from something that I literally just started to celebrate the beautiful Black women that I knew.
Wow.
And, you know, so I love it. I love the journey. I do a tour every year called the Stronger Tour, where I go to different college campuses to empower the young women there, because my belief is if you empower the community, empower the women, you empower the community. And so I want to start as early as I can, you know, and let these young women know, like, if they love themselves, if they get that same talk that I got from my mom, I believe that they too will grow up and be confident, strong women that can look outside of what society says is beautiful, outside of what society says they are capable of, all of those things. So I do a tour. I have a brunch coming up. This is the second year doing that brunch. It's called the Her Story Brunch. Mm-hmm. It takes place on January 20th in Stone Mountain. And that brunch is pretty much the same thing that you're doing. It's an opportunity to give women a platform to share their stories, because I believe that every woman's story has the power to encourage or inspire someone else. So I want them to recognize that you don't have to be a celebrity to share your story. Like, your story still has power. Mm-hmm. And they can have that opportunity to come together and we share stories and inspire one another and socialize. So I have that, and then I have a Gold Chasers event, which is a private dinner that I like to share information with young ladies who are trying to build businesses and have goals in life, in their life, that they want to achieve. And so, you know, when I was coming up and trying to learn what I was learning in the broadcasting arena, nobody was sharing information, and especially other women were not sharing that information with me. And so once I got to a status level in radio, which I've done for 20 plus years, you know, once I got to that place and I had the ability, I began sharing information with all young girls. And so I believe I should make it easier for the next person. I shouldn't make it harder for them. I should make it easier, because I want them to excel past me. I want them to be better than me. I don't have children. So my legacy is every woman that I come in contact with.
Wow.
And I want them to live on and do the things that I couldn't do. And every time they win, I win. You know, they are the branch for me. And so that's kind of just how I live my life. And so, like I said, I Hear That Girl has just expanded more and more, and it's going to be bigger and bigger and better than I could possibly imagine, because the vision was given to me. But you have to understand, when God gives you a vision, you're only seeing a little bit. Mm-hmm. You don't even see the extent of where that thing is really going to take you. And so I'm just thankful to be used as that vessel to empower people, because I always empower them in God, because that's the strength, that's the root of your power. Yep. Is God. Once you know who He is, how could you possibly deny who you are?
Wow. Wow. I hear that, girl. I love that. And I love that. Once you know who He is, how can you possibly deny who you are? Like I'm snagging that one. I'm going to drop that. I'm serious. That's going to be in my next Sunday school lesson, I think. And I'm going to try to work it in and try to out His mind, you know. I'll be like, yeah, that's profound. I know. I got it. I got it from somebody who's really good at this, you know. You know, I have to act, you know, I'm going to have to do that. I did want you to tell that story you were about to tell me earlier about, you know, your name. You know, you are known as Kimberly Isis in your work. And, you know, when I didn't really connect the dots, at least initially in my head, I was like, ISIS, wait a minute. That's like that terrorist organization. So I was like, man, you know, I know you have to at some point in time have other people who ask you that silly question. Like, hey, do you ever have any trouble with that? You were telling me this funny story about your cable bill situation one time, and I want you to share that with my listeners.
So yeah, you know, like I get that question all the time, and I don't have any issues with the name, but I do get everybody to ask me that. And so there was this one time that my roommate was sending me money for the cable bill, and he sent it via PayPal and decided to put money for ISIS in the notes for the cable bill. And so I said, sir, you're late on your cable bill. Like, I haven't gotten the money. And he's like, I sent it like days ago and I didn't get it. So he goes and he checks, and they have put like a hold on his account. They froze all his funds, like everything. He said, they are watching me. They called him. And they were like, what do you mean money for ISIS? Like, what is this for? Like, it took him like at least 3 weeks before they released his funds.
Wow.
And allowed him to send me the money.
Wow. That was a difficult cable bill to pay. I bet you that cable bill was Comcast. It had to be Comcast.
It was.
Comcast, yeah. That just sounds like a Comcast cable story, you know. It's like, he thought she was a terrorist, you know. Wow.
Like, you're sending me to ISIS. I told him, though, I said, how could you possibly put money for ISIS in your note? Like, you didn't even put Kimberly before. You just put ISIS. You should have known better. Like, it'd be different if it was coming from, you know, a straight person-to-person transfer, but it was coming from your PayPal, which means that you could have very well been paying ISIS. Like, he didn't think anything about it, because he's just so used to me being the ISIS, you know. But in this world, we have to recognize that there is a bigger ISIS at hand, and so you have to be careful. And then another funny story about that is, the other day, this one recently happened, is I was out with at a meeting, and the guy told me, he asked me that same question, like, do I ever have trouble, blah, and I said, no, I don't. And he asked me what would I like to go by. I said, you can call me Kimberly, or you can call me Kimberly ISIS. Most people call me ISIS. So he said, I'll call you ISIS. And we were at a, sandwich place, and they put the names on the cup. So when they call the order, they're like, ISIS, and screaming it. Everybody's looking around. I said, wow. So that's the first time that's ever happened. Like, I never put ISIS on my cup at Starbucks. So I was like, wow. And he just laughed. He was like, I didn't even think about that when I told them the name. But yeah, that was funny too.
That is hilarious. Oh, oh man. Like, now you've given me a whole new set of pranks I can pull when I go to Starbucks. Just start writing down fake, like these really fake names, and just so they can say it out loud, you know. Hilarious. You know, I think it's cool that you have fun, yeah, obviously with who you are and you know, you embrace it, and you know, it's nothing wrong with being who you are, and you know, people people make fun of my last name all kind of ways, and so I'm used to it, you know what I mean? Having people go off when they hear my last name, so
right.
You know, I wanted to ask you, kind of as we wrap up, you know, you talked about you have a brunch coming up, and that's a great event. I'm gonna make sure I put a link to that in the show notes, and I'll give you some pop off of that. Try it from my little bit of following, and I've got some people too I want you to network with that you might want to connect with. I've got a few people who I know are in a similar space as you, and there may be some synergy there that you can leverage and going forward and some things that you got going on. And
awesome.
Now, why do I feel like have you written a book? Why do I feel like you've written a book? Is that just me?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
When did my book come out? It came out like 2 years ago. Wow, it's been 2 years now.
Yeah.
It's called I Hear That Girl, Life Advice for Every Sister. It's available on Amazon. And it's about the concept of life advice that God has revealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
During a very tumultuous time of my life, I was going through a divorce, and mm-hmm. I just didn't understand, like, why that was happening to me, because I felt like I had done everything right, you know?
Wow, yeah.
I tried to follow everything right. And so I just didn't understand what was going on. And so I took myself out of the situation and just said, okay, God, this is on you. So you gotta mm-hmm. break things down for me and help this make sense to me and I can be better. And so he basically gave me 10 principles to evaluate in my life. He just said, hey, I want you to close the Bible, because I was reading the Bible thinking that the answers that I needed would be there. And funny, he said, close that. You know, he's like, just shut the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to think about your entire life. I want you to go all the way back. And I sat there and went through every part of my life. And I searched through my life like I was searching through the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when we get in trouble, we search through the Bible. Like we'll go through that scripture, try to decipher it, figure out what it's saying for us. And so basically I did that for me, for myself. I looked at my life and everything I started to see, oh, this made me do this and this is why I do that. And this attributed to this. And this is why I said yes when I should have said no. And this, like everything started making so much sense. Everything. I learned about how to be accountable for your own actions. I learned about the importance of accepting people as they come to you and not what you want them to be.
Oh, wow.
I learned everything, the importance of listening, not hearing, but listening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God just gave me so many major keys. And it was 10 of them. And by the time I was done with that book, I was a complete whole individual. I was not bitter for my divorce. I actually was able to separate from him and say, you know what? It's good. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just were in a bad place, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't you. It's just that we were two individuals who didn't know themselves. The marriage was fine.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals had no idea what was going on with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then, you know, now I tell a lot of people who want to be married, I'm like, make sure, like really, it's not making sure about the other person. You have to be whole with yourself. Like you really have to know who you are, but why you are the way you are.
That's so true.
Know all the intricacies of you. And it takes two people who have done that, who have been really introspective, to make a great marriage. Otherwise, you're just suffering through it. Mm-hmm. But to make a great marriage, it takes two people who have really been introspective. So when I go on dates, that's what I look for. Mm-hmm. I need someone who is introspective. And so it's, you know, little things like that begin to change your mind into what you should really look for. And like I said before about viewing character as the prime thing instead of, oh, he's handsome. No, I don't need that. I'm looking for ugly dudes. Like, I'm checking ugly dudes. Like, I am not lying. This is serious. Like, this is a true story. I go on the dating app and I look for the ugly guys. Like, I try to find them because to me, it's not about the physical. It's about the character.
Wow.
I can, if I find a character, I don't care what the shell looks like. I want the character.
Yeah. So. You're just so deep on that. Like, like that's, I mean, you know, I'm a divorcee too. And my ears really perked up when you shared that part of your journey and your story, you know, and you're right. It's so much work that you have to put into you in order to realize what you want, who you want to be with, why you want to be with them. What should you look for in someone else? And I just find it fascinating how God, he blessed you after your divorce to have gone through that process and produced a book out of it to help other people. Mm-hmm. You know,
And to help me. He gonna give me some greatness. You know, like he's preparing me for my king. Like, and I'm so excited. Like, yeah. I know he is. And I don't even search for my king because I just know that when I find him or when he finds me, or when we meet, I'll put it like that. Cause I don't believe in me finding him and him finding me, but I do believe when we meet,
it's
going to be great. And if this is the time that it's taking, like some people, some women get upset because they're waiting so long. But this is my belief. This is the time that he's probably doing his introspection. Let him have his time. Mm. I want him at his best. I don't want him halfway through it. I want him at his best. So I will let him take that time and I will continue to evolve myself so that when we meet, we are both the best version of ourselves for each other. So. Yeah, you know, I mean, I thank God for that. And that's what that book was all about. Like, it was eye-opening experience to just evaluate your life.
Wow.
And so that's the concept of life advice, that God has given us every piece of advice that we could possibly need is in our lives. But we have to go back and look at it because a lot of stuff we sweep under the rug and we ignore a lot of the, you know, nudges that God will give us. So God says, look at your life and there are your answers.
Wow. There's just so much more to talk about, right? Like, but I can't keep you all evening. I really want to.
You cannot. A sacred day.
I know. And I've been here hoarding it on the sacred day. I really want to talk so much about, you know, the whole dating aspect that your perspective on dating, because, you know, you're going through that process as a divorcee, as someone, you're with this new perspective that you've discovered from your life experiences. You know, there's just so much there to unpack, but maybe I can get you on the phone again another day and we can sit down and chat about that you know, as much as you obviously feel comfortable sharing with that. And, you know, cause I think there's a whole, I just would love to bounce stuff off of, you know, you about just that conversation point, you know, cause you're right. I mean, once you get past a certain point when you've been looking for one thing and you realize that's shallow and it's unfulfilling. Yeah. You open yourself up a lot to other packaging, if you will, of what the blessing could come in as. So. You know, I've got a lot there that I think I've been touched by and impressed by, and just I can take away from this conversation. And once again, I just want to thank you and just let you know how appreciative I am of you taking the time to just share this content with me and the people I hope to listen to this episode. What is your social media that you can be reached at and that you interface with people at you know, give them your social media so that we can make sure that we share that information with everybody.
Okay. Well, you guys can find me on all social media platforms at I Hear That Girl. IHEARPHATGIRL. I Hear That Girl, all social media.
All right. Well, I think I hear that girl myself. So I'm going to wrap it up there. And once again, I want to appreciate you and just let you know that thank you for sharing and thank you for doing what you do and encouraging people. That was a great interview with Kimberly Isis. We want to send somebody to this brunch. All you have to do to score this free ticket is just share on Facebook a link to this interview, to this episode. If you really want to catch my attention, because this is a random selection, write some info in the post. Don't just share the link. Make a comment about the show in your post. And what we're going to do is we're going to take somebody from those people who share, because I can see the shares on Facebook, and we're going to send that person to the brunch. We've already bought the ticket, and we're going to send you to the brunch. All you've got to do is share this episode on your social media. That's easy enough. Well, as we bring the show to a close, remember to check us out on social media, Culture and Conversations Podcast. You can find the Facebook page under Culture and Conversations, Instagram, Culture and Conversations. Check us out. Let us know what you're doing and what you think about the show. Also, you can email the show at cultureandconversations@gmail.com. That is cultureandconversations@gmail.com. We got to give thanks to this great music that we're listening to. Big Al Beats, jazzy hip-hop instrumental, These Streets. It's a free beat on SoundCloud, so check out Big Al Beats with a Z, as well as that smooth jazz we heard was from Red Shirt Beats, and it is a smooth jazz beat under Red Shirt Beats on SoundCloud also. Once again, thank you guys for your music. Thank you guys for listening, and we are out.